All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I think it's 47 days and now just 3 hours, something like that, until Trump gets sworn in. Title of tonight's show is Trump Effect. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Granite 22468 is on. Jayana Jones is on. D9597 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Horror Hotel is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Sweathy's on. Itsua 99 is on. Daniel Armstrong Rec is on. Alpha Acres is on. LA 106 Times is on. Mike Griffith's on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Hans Lick Donovan is on. Kept Guy 1 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. John Phillips 1973 is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Milwaukee James is on. PJA Wiles 1 is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Conservative Waffles on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Judy Anita is on. Sexy Pony's on. Aphrodite's is on. Sheila K is on. Lou Ann 5 is on. Joe Heathen is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Drummond for Jesus is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Confederate 1 is on. I think I said that one already, but anyway. I'm checking to see if I missed anybody. Abseek Truth is on. Peg Joe is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. La Picket Fence is on. Skinning down here. Kevin FM 1 is on. Aaron Yeager's on. Jana Jones, thank you. The Rumble ran already. $10. Appreciate it. Just Fact is on. Zinc and Devi, if I got that right, is on. Hope I did. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just one thing off of the pregame, and that's with Chuck Schumer. He specifically asked about the pardon. And he says, quote, "I've got nothing for you on that," approximately five or six times. Why would the sitting Senate majority leader have nothing on the fact that the president of the United States just pardoned his son? You're like, Tom, are you going to spend an entire show on this again? Not an entire show. We're going to launch with it. But I'm just curious, how it is that you'd have nothing on it? Why wouldn't you make some sort of definitive statement of I'm either against it or I'm for it? That's who all of these people are. They're disgusting human beings. Been using the word repulsive a lot. Maybe I'll switch to repugnant. I don't know. But that Chuck Schumer, these people who are allegedly, and by the way, don't misunderstand me. I know that we live in a constitutional republic. But just for ease of conversation, these people who are allegedly over us, and that many Christians, because they bowed to COVID under Romans 13, these people who are authority over us, even though they are not in authority over us, Chuck Schumer is simply a representative for the people of the state of New York. He is not a ruling authority. He votes on things. That's it. But allegedly, since they believe that they are a ruling authority, and they're all alleged experts, and they're all allegedly, you know, political experts and fiscal experts, and they talk down to us, and they belittle us, and they put us, you know, $36 trillion in debt, and hopefully I get to that tonight. We're etching ever closer to $37 trillion in debt. These alleged experts, this man can't make a definitive statement about the fact that the president of the United States, who is in his party, just pardoned his own son after basically, I don't know, a year of saying that he wouldn't over and over and over again. Let's launch into this. Scott Jennings, awesome pundit on CNN. Can't believe it's on. I can't believe that Scott Jennings is still on CNN. I guess they're putting out some sort of illusion that they have, a fair and balanced conversation. But hey, you know what? Credit to them. They do allow Scott Jennings to speak. So here's Scott Jennings' video. Come for me on CNN, nailing Biden and his White House staff for lying about the pardon. Play for me, Heather.
NBC News reported that the president and his top aides met this summer and decided two things, that they were going to keep this option open, but they were going to publicly maintain that they would not pardon Hunter Biden through statements from Joe Biden and statements from the White House press secretary. They had a meeting. They coordinated the lie, I guess, for political purposes. And now that he's leaving office, he is going back on what he told the American people. This isn't simply changing your mind. This is just fulfilling what you always intended to do. No Republican is shocked that he is doing this. What I am shocked at is the duplicity of the president of the United States and his top aides to come together and form this lie and stick to it this entire time. We all knew it was ridiculous, And now the American people are seeing what a disgrace he really is.
I think it's incredibly rich to have you say that the people got together and they were duplicitous and they created a lie.
NBC News said it.
I'm saying they created a lie
because,
honestly, what the other side has been saying.
Simply by saying, well, you know, I'm just out looking out for the American people.
But why would he have answered?
What do you mean?
Why would he have given such an oddly specific denial numerous times? What could it have possibly been?
Scott, I have no idea. All
politics, corruption, partisanship, grifting, that's the answer.
But the Trump administration had an opportunity to investigate it. They could not verify the things that you're alluding to.
They tried to, and he got impeached over it. They impeached Donald Trump over the investigation that Hunter Biden has now gotten a pardon for.
You don't think...
It's a quick point of fact.
Two points.
The Department of Justice investigations, indictments into Hunter Biden. This has nothing to do with the Republican Party. They don't run the Justice Department. The Justice Department, as you might know, since you had been in the government at one time before you lost your race this year, is an agency of the executive branch. The Attorney General is appointed by the president. This is the Biden administration investigating, charging, and ultimately finding conviction of Hunter Biden. The Republican Party runs no investigation. This is an official DOJ action, is it not?
Well,
just say yes.
So are we saying we have a problem with all of those things?
How many of the Trump children that we were told are corrupt got needed pardons? Zero.
Scott, no one looked at them.
The Trump children did not face federal charges. To your point, I'm going to give you that. But the person on here, Charles Kushner, who was convicted for a crime.
Did he go to jail?
Yes.
He was living in Alabama prison.
He served time?
But he was forced.
He was in prison.
He did not.
Completely different crimes.
It strikes me that one of the arguments against
you didn't answer the question.
He's literally moved from a jail cell in Alabama
They're not equivalent. You're bringing up an issue, and you brought it up, so I want to address it. This idea that Hunter Biden is being selectively prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the core criticisms of the Republicans, and Trump specifically, during the Biden years, is that the Department of Justice is engaging in selective prosecution investigations of Republicans. And today, what I hear Democrats saying is, you know what, you're right. Joe Biden's DOJ does engage in selective prosecutions, which is exactly why we need people to come in and clean it out now. There seems to be bipartisan consensus.
But
selective prosecutions.
Does it open that door, Congressman?
What door? I'm sorry.
The door.
Can I ask a question? Do you all think that Merrick Garland should be fired because of this corruption at the DOJ? You think there's corruption there. You think this was a politicized witch hunt. But the Attorney General should be held accountable, no?
These charges were trumped up because his name is Hunter Biden.
But let's consult our legal expert.
It's kind of sad that Jamal Bowman, that's the guy who pulled the fire alarm. That's the fire alarm guy. It's too bad that he's gone because I really miss his galactic stupidity. After that long rant from Scott Jennings, his answer was the only reason why Hunter was prosecuted was because his name is Biden. That's all that he has. So why is it that we're not allowed to say that the only reason why Donald Trump is prosecuted is because his name is Donald Trump? And by the way, Hunter Biden's charges, and I know that I've said this a million times, but just everybody understand the difference between tax fraud and tax evasion. They let all the tax fraud, the serious felony stuff, the stuff that carries a decade or more, they let that run out under David Weiss. What they always say was a Trump nominee. He was actually nominated by two Democratic senators out of the state of Delaware. He's approved by Donald Trump. But anyway, they let all those serious charges go, as well as the IRS whistleblowers coming out. Now all the Democrats are attacking whistleblowers when, you know, a couple years ago, you were never even allowed to mention the name whistleblower. And if you outed the whistleblower on Twitter, you were banned for life, or YouTube banned for life, Facebook banned for life. So now they're all attacking these whistleblowers that are coming out. Another whistleblower just came out basically is saying to ABC News that Joe Biden planned to pardon Hunter back in the summer. and like Scott Jennings says, he's being accused. That's what you say. No, that's not what I say. That's what ABC News says, that bastion of right-wing conservatism. So again, if they're going to say that the DOJ does selective prosecutions, then we can obviously say that ourselves. But here's the thing. You have to go, of course, case by case. They selectively prosecuted Hunter Biden, but in the opposite way that they selectively prosecuted Donald Trump. They actually chose to selectively not prosecute him. He had glaring charges against him, and they chose not to prosecute him for the worst of those charges and let the statute of limitations run out on those charges on purpose. And as the IRS whistleblowers are saying, they would have a search warrant to execute on a Hunter Biden room, dwelling, building, storage unit, and the FBI would warn Hunter Biden that the IRS is about to execute a warrant on you because it was a joint jurisdictional task force. So here are some of this. This is a Clipkeeper video. Here are some of Hunter Biden's offenses. Play for me.
If we look at the indictment, this alleges a scheme covering 4 years, 2016 through and including 2019. The allegation is that during that time, Hunter Biden made around $7 million in income, primarily from foreign companies in Ukraine and China. He did not do actual work meriting $7 million worth of income. He took false business deductions. The indictment alleges, as one example, that in 2018, he claimed he had $388,000 worth of business travel. But in fact, the allegation is he was doing no business, no real work.
So this latest indictment, what does it include? It includes failure to file and pay taxes, evasion of a tax assessment, and filing a false or fraudulent tax return. Now, this is from the indictment. I'll read it for you. It says, between 2016 and October 15th, 2020, the defendant spent his money on drugs, escorts and girlfriends, luxury hotels and rental properties, exotic cars, clothing, and other items of a personal nature. In short, everything but his taxes. Prosecutors are saying that Hunter Biden subverted the payroll and tax withholding process of his company when he withdrew millions of dollars. They say it was all to subsidize his extravagant lifestyle. It included nearly $700,000 in payments to various women, nearly $200,000 in adult entertainment, and about $70,000 in rehab, among other things.
You notice I have never once, not one single time, suggested the Justice Department what they should do or not do relative to bringing a charge or not bringing a charge. I'm honest. I said I abide by the jury decision and I will not
pardon.
And he said he'd abide by the jury's decision, and then he pardoned him after, in direct contradiction to the jury's decision. And just to bring this, to make sure everybody knows this, make sure let's look at all the years here, because the pardon is a blanket pardon for anything that he did do is investigated, hasn't been investigated, that will be discovered that he did do, or anything that he's possibly linked to, right? It's a blanket pardon from 2014 to 2024 through this entire year. So basically, it's, if you count all of 2014, that's 11 years, folks, an 11-year pardon. First time there's ever been anything done like this in the history of our country, just like the Afghanistan withdrawal. Just like the open borders, just like the hyperinflation, just like the attack on Israel. First time anything like this has ever happened in the history of our country. So if you look at this thing, now here's what Hunter Biden wrote off in this four-year time frame. Now remember, this pardon goes back all the way to 2014. This is from 2016 to 2020. That's all this covers right here. That's you look at those numbers. $683,000 worth of payments to various women. Okay, now I've never been much. I haven't dated that many women. Okay. So I can't claim that I have lots and lots of knowledge about dating women, because, I mean, I dated my fair share, I guess, probably lower than average. But I'm just saying, what exactly are you making payments for to various women? Obviously, because the women that I dated, I never paid them to date me. I mean, nobody was lining up to date me, but I never had to pay somebody to date me. So anyway, so we know that that was for hookers. Now, he wrote that off as a tax write-off, as a business expense, as well as, and again, like, don't these things conflate? Adult entertainment, quoting Aaron Yeager, wow, that's a lot of porn. Because, again, I thought when I first saw these things, I'm like, okay, he's paying hookers, obviously, you know, the same hookers that were riding around in his dad's 67 Stingray, driving into the mansion at Wahopeth Beach, you know, behind the wall that you and I just built for $500,000, behind the guns that you and I paid for that we're not allowed to have. But anyway, those boxes and boxes of classified, highly classified, compartmented documents are sitting in that garage with, in broken boxes, as Hunter drove in there with Russian hookers. It was Russia, Russia, Russia from Hillary Clinton. Everything, anything and everything that we do as Republicans is always linked somehow to Russia. It's all bold-faced lies. But anyway, so I'm just thinking here. I was like, okay, that $188,000 for adult entertainment had to be for hookers. No, the hookers is covered in the first line. So what does adult entertainment even mean? I mean, I guess Aaron's right. It's either porn or strippers, I guess. And he was allegedly part of a sex club in L.A. Then all of these things were write-offs. I don't know what you do at a sex club in L.A. I don't want to know what you do. But Hunter was there, and he wrote it off as a business expense, as well as his own rehab was written off as business expenses. So this is just during 2016 to 2020, where he made $7 million in income. Now, can anybody explain to me what product or what service he provided, except for paying hookers? What service was provided? I mean, again, if you're a Democrat and you happen to have stumbled upon this show, you can get in the Rumble rant right now and answer this question. Go ahead, get in there. I'm not going to do anything to you. Just get in there and explain to me what it was that Hunter Biden provided to anybody for $7 million. Thing or things. I would love to know what he did. And he primarily got that money from China and, of course, Ukraine. So, and of course, we all know about $3.5 million coming from the former mayor of Moscow's wife, Batarina is her last name. Katrina, I can't remember what her first name is, something Batarina. But anyway, so I'd just love for somebody to tell me what it was that he did for $7 million. How can you be a Democrat and look yourself in the face? Still talk about, well, Donald Trump's wealth. Okay, we can point to what Donald Trump owns and to what he does. A multinational golf course, hotel and building corporation that's been around for my entire life. Yelena Batarina. I was like, Yelena. Yeah, Yelena Batarina.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks, Aaron. Aaron sends me info to my left here. So, and also notice that the pardon is, of course, for 2020. I mean, the pardon is for 2014 all the way through 2024. Now, why did it have to be? Now, all these charges came from, the ones that you're seeing on the screen, came from these tax charges and the gun charge, all come from 2016 to 2020. What on earth was he doing from 14 to 16? And what has he been doing from 2020 to 2024? That he needs a blanket pardon for the years that aren't even covered in his conviction or in his court cases. What exactly are we covering here now? The other ones, the statute of limitations have run out. What are the things that he's done that the statute of limitations haven't run out on from 14 to 16 and from 2020 to 2024? Who knows? Let's go to the next one. Mike Benz, this will tell you right here. This will at least give you a partial answer. Mike Benz, make sure you follow him on Twitter. The Hunter Biden pardon is about covering up the diplomatic crime scene, about what the U.S. foreign policy establishment was doing. Can anybody guess in what country? In Ukraine since, can you guess the year? 2014. Play for me.
Where did Burisma hold the mining rights for the gas that it was exploiting? It was in the Donbass, which had just broken away from Kiev and was now being backed militarily by Russia. And it was in the Black Sea. It was basically offshore of Crimea, which had just declared itself to be part of the Russian Federation in a referendum. And so what were we doing between 2014 and 2020? Why was there billions of dollars in military assistance going to Ukraine to recapture eastern Ukraine, where Burisma held all of its mining rights, and to recapture Crimea, where Burisma held the offshore gas mining rights? We were sending billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money to effectively improve the corporate revenue structure of a company that the previous vice president's son was on, and that the then incoming president would orient his entire foreign policy around. So we used the Pentagon to secure Burisma's investments. We used the CIA to do it. We used the State Department to do it. Hunter Biden personally lobbied the U.S. ambassador to to Italy in the U.S. Embassy in Rome in order to get Burisma the offshore gas rights in Italy and Greece. We used U.S. aid to secure Burisma's profits. We used NATO to secure Burisma's profits. But it's not the American people who are profiting from this. This was the personal profit of the Biden crime family. And now, evidently, those crimes are off limits because they have a blanket pardon.
So now you know there's a part of it. Again, there's many tributaries to the river when it comes to why is it that all of these globalist leftist bourgeois elitists, which includes Rhino Republicans, excludes McConnell, which excludes Romney, which excludes Lindsey Graham, John McCain, when he was still around, and all the rest of them. Why do they all support this war? Nikki Haley, why do they support this war? Again, what they do is cloak their own personal interests in the verbiage of national security interest. Whatever their personal interest is. So they all have, whether NATO came to the defense of, USA came to the defense of, State Department came to the defense of, Pentagon came to the defense of, CIA came to the defense of what? United States interests? No. The interests of Burisma, who was paying Hunter Biden. So they had basically a little civil war going on in 2014 in Ukraine. Can anybody guess what two provinces were involved in that civil war 10 years ago? Can anybody guess? It's called the Donbass region. Can anybody guess what those provinces are called? They're called the breakout provinces, Donetsk and Luhansk. That's what the war's all about right now, 10 years later. So we're trying to secure, again, that region for Democratic Party members' financial investments. And if it's not theirs, Aaron, can you guess which companies it is? That would be BlackRock. Who's funding the war on both sides. They're funding, what I mean by funding the war on both sides is they're funding the war continuing. BlackRock wants Ukraine to be part of NATO so that Ukraine has to buy all of their weapons from NATO contractors, which are all owned by BlackRock. And then BlackRock needs to rebuild Ukraine after the weapons that they sold destroyed the country. See how that works? So here we are again in the same war that happened in 2014 that was caused by the color revolution that was started by Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Jake Sullivan and Victoria Nuland. And why are these two provinces endlessly trying to break away for the same reason that Crimea broke away? They're Russian speaking and they're asking to break away. They're not, I don't know about you, but they're not thrilled about being endlessly harassed by the Azov Nazi battalions because they're Russian speaking. They're Luhansk and Donetsk are Russian speaking. They want to be part of Russia. They used to be part of Russia. They're Russian speaking. And just like Crimea, they're trying to annex themselves in it. That's what this war is all about. But we can't let that happen for many reasons, because the mineral rights are owned by companies that are heavily invested in that. What I mean by heavily invested in is people that are invested in them are globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. And it's all cloaked in national security. We got to fight this war. Because if Russia takes over Luhansk and Donetsk, Luhansk and Donetsk,
yeah,
mix those up. If Russia takes those over, where will Vladimir Putin go next? Where has he ever gone? Can anybody think of anything? I mean, I'm thinking of my 56 years on the planet. Where has he ever gone? Nowhere. He's never gone anywhere. He's doing what he's always done, which is try to annex Russian-speaking provinces in Ukraine. They're asking him to annex them. Now, is it right for him to do it by force? No. Not for Vladimir Putin. And I'm not for Volodymyr Zelensky. If you were to pick who's the worst totalitarian, it's Volodymyr Zelensky is. No elections, banned elections, no more elections. Banned Oppo Media and banned all opposition political parties. So that's what this is about. This is what it's always been about. And it's not just the Bidens. It's many other people invested financially in this region. And then they cloak it by saying it's for national security reasons and pump billions of dollars of their money. No, not a dime of the Bidens' money is going in to Slava Ukraine to protect Ukraine. Nothing. All that's going in is our taxpayer dollars, $200 billion, and we're a country that's $36 trillion in debt. It's all about leftist, bourgeois leftist, globalist elitist, which includes Republicans, most Republicans, because most Republicans are for this war. Most Republicans are for this war. And it's a sad thing. I'm a devout Republican because I adhere to the Republican platform. I do not adhere to Republican politicians because most of them are actually Democrats. Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, you honestly think that he's a Republican? Absolutely not. Bill Gates, who runs the elections in Maricopa County, or did, you think he's actually a Republican? Absolutely not. Whether it's Romney, Collins, Murkowski, Graham, McConnell, and many, John Thune, John Cornyn, they're not Republicans. They'd never vote for a Republican president. But that's what's actually happening in Ukraine. So let's go in a little bit more on this. Carly Bonet video. Why doesn't anyone ask Hunter Biden, what is Tucker Carlson, what does Hunter actually do for a living to this day? He's got a blanket pardon through this year. Remember, the first part of the pardon, he's never been charged with anything from 2014 to 16. He's never been charged with anything from 20 to 24. But yet, the pardon covers all those years. Not just the stuff he's already been tried for, but it covers years of time where there's never been a charge extracted from those years. So what does Hunter Biden actually do for a living? Play for me, Heather.
A more interesting question, though, which is another question the feds will never consider, is what does Hunter Biden do for a living now? This is a man with no obvious job and, of course, zero skills. He spent midlife smoking crack. Yet somehow he's managed to live pretty well despite rising inflation. He's been living in big houses in the costliest residential neighborhoods in the world. He's been paying his stripper baby mama $20,000 a month in child support. And he has retained a team of the most expensive lawyers in the country who spend quite a bit of time sending threatening letters to anyone who asks questions about how they're being paid. We can confirm that firsthand. So again, what does Hunter Biden do for work? That's a fair question. And tonight we have the answer. For years, Hunter Biden was an influence peddler. Now Hunter Biden is a self-actualizer.
You might know what that is. You get paid for being an influencer and a self-actualizer. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Let's look at that. Why does Hunter Biden need? Remember, the years that cover his charges are 16 to 20, 2016, 2020. That covers all the things he's already been charged with. But strange that the pardon covers another 7 years besides that. Why is that? Well, here's a little hint. Sean McGuire tweet. So what happens to the $300,000 in back pay rent that Hunter Biden owes my family from 2019 to 2020? You know, wonder why the pardon has to cover as many years as it does. Is that pardon now? Thanks, Joe. This is a true story. Go to the next one for me. This one's funny. Yep, true story. Hunter was our tenant in Venice, California. Didn't pay rent for over a year. Tried to pay rent with art made from his own feces. That's the truth. That's a true story. So, you know, that's who these people are. That's who the Biden family is. Remember, you'll hear Joe Biden. My word as a Biden. That's his word as a Biden. These are disgusting, repulsive human beings, devoid of all integrity, devoid of all human dignity. Absolutely disgusting human beings. That's why he needs a blanket pardon for 11 years. All right, Carly Bonet video. Suddenly, Chuck Todd has revelatory knowledge. Play for me.
I followed the Hunter Biden trial very closely.
Mm-hmm.
I read every transcript, all the testimony, because that's what all that was made public. And there is, you want to get angry, just as somebody in just all these mixed emotions. You read the Hallie Biden transcript, and that's Beau's widow.
Yes.
And essentially, he turned her into a crack addict. And this was all happening in 2017, 2018. And Joe and Jill Biden were so concerned about their family that they decided to run for president.
Yep.
So when you talk about the word selfish, it's almost like the word doesn't, I mean, their decision to run for president put the entire Democratic Party and the United States of America in the position that it's in now.
And those two right there are two of the biggest Biden whores on the planet, Chris Saliza and Chuck Todd. Absolutely Biden whores. And Aaron said it during the video, it's Trump effect. It's Trump effect. They're scared now. They're getting their story straight because Chuck Todd can be sued into financial oblivion using the precedent that Fox News got sued into. They didn't get sued into financial oblivion, but however many hundreds of millions that they paid to Dominion voting machines because they had guests. Fox News themselves, think about the precedent of this. Fox News themselves never alleged that there was corruption in Dominion voting machines, ever. Or Smartmatic, ever. They never did. They had guests on who did. So how in the world are you ever going to be a media outlet, whether print or video, if you can't have guests on making allegations? Positive or negative, how are you going to have them on? They ever think about these things? So now that that precedent has been set, that basically, if you run the editorial section in the New York Times, if I write in there, 2020 election was stolen, now the New York Times can be sued. That's the precedent. It's an editorial section. And it's also backed up by how all the platforms are acting like publishers, Facebook, YouTube, and old Twitter. But anyway, so they're all running. This is the Trump effect. They're actually running for cover. You're seeing this all over the place now. If you're like, I don't see it ever. I'm telling you, if you pay close enough attention to what's going on the liberal side of media, or I don't even like to call them liberal because they're not really liberal. They're leftists. They're Hitler. They're National Socialist Party. They're Nazis. That's who these people are. And that Chris Liz and Chuck Todd are that. They're wretched human beings, Trump whores. I mean, not Trump whores, Biden whores, ripping Trump. Every false Trump allegation was peddled by these two morons. And now they're saying, I don't agree with Joe pardoning Hunter because he made Hallie Biden a crack addict. Okay. They're just running for cover now because they're actually vulnerable to being sued into financial oblivion for defamation because they were all in support, all of them, whether it's Saliza, whether it's Chuck Todd, they were all in support. Jake Tapper, all the rest of them, were gleefully in support of watching Rudy Giuliani be sued into financial oblivion, where the settlement against him was $48 million to Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. $48 million, and Rudy Giuliani is worth $10 million. He now has nothing. He can't even use a card to get a cab. He has some money like in savings that they can't touch, but he has no cash assets right now. He has no liquid cash. That's the state that he's in. And they were all very gleeful about that. They were very gleeful that Trump had to pay $500 million for a civil real estate fraud settlement when there were no victims in a civil case. And hundreds of million dollars to E. Jean Carroll for a civil rape case that they had to extend the statute of limitations to even bring. So they were all very gleeful about that. Now, what about all of your lies, Chris Saliza? What about all your lies, Chuck Todd and Jake Tapper, Nicole Wallace, Joy Reid, Joy Behar, Sonny Hostin, Whoopi Goldberg? What about all your lies? And all your lies are not covered by your little legal notes that you read after you've defamed people. Because you defamed people long before you're reading those notes. It's the Trump effect. All right, let me do some miscellaneous stuff here. The disrespect, what I mean by miscellaneous, I'm hopping all over the place, all different stories now. Disrespected trucker video. I just had to show you this because speaking about Trump, this is a great, I just discovered this today. Many of you, maybe some of you have already seen it. It's not the newest of videos, but it was too good not to show. But the federal government has been corrupt for a very long time. Disrespected trucker video. Here's Ted Cruz versus an ex-attorney general. Play it for me.
General Mukasey. Before 2023, how many times has the President of the United States been indicted?
None.
Before 2023, how many times has a former President of the United States been indicted?
None.
In the last 2 years, how many times has President Donald J. Trump been indicted?
Four times, I believe.
Now, many presidents of both parties have engaged in controversial actions. And yet none of them have been indicted. Let me ask you, General Mukasey, if a private citizen were to erect an internment camp and to forcibly kidnap American citizens, to single them out because of race, and to imprison them based on their race, would that private citizen be subject to criminal prosecution?
Would.
When President Franklin Delano Roosevelt did the exact same thing and erected Japanese internment camps, was FDR prosecuted?
He was not.
Let me ask you, Similarly, if a private citizen were, say, to detonate a nuclear weapon over a city and kill over 140,000 people, and then if that private citizen a few days later detonated another nuclear bomb over another city and killed 75,000 people, could that private citizen be criminally prosecuted?
He would.
Was President Harry Truman prosecuted for detonating nuclear weapons over Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
He was not.
All right, how about this? If a private citizen launched a weaponized drone and killed a United States citizen, could that private citizen be criminally prosecuted?
He would.
Was President Barack Obama criminally prosecuted when he killed United States citizens using drones without notice and without due process?
So that just shows you the state of affairs that we're in right now. And it's going to change. But this is the thing. If you don't prosecute these people, it's not going to change. They're going to commit crimes and they're going to go unprosecuted and unpunished. And then they're going to prosecute you for false allegations, or they're going to prosecute you for false allegations. And those false allegations will be the very things that they themselves have done, just like they're doing right now. Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ to go against his political opponents. Can you imagine having the gall to say that? That Trump's going to do that which you've already done and are currently doing? Because we just had another raid of a J6 defendant, or two of them actually in the last 2 months, and one of which we know did absolutely nothing criminal. But yet he's a Trump supporter, so the DOJ's been weaponized against him. So the DOJ's been weaponized against your political opponent. So Michael Mukasey is asked by Ted Cruz, has a president ever been indicted? A president? No. Ever in the history of the United States? No. Has a former president ever been indicted? No, not once. So we go all the way from 1776, roughly, until 2022, I think is when Trump's indictments begin to land. So we go all of those years and not one president or former president has ever been charged with a crime, ever, let alone his home raided, ever. And then Trump gets it in a year, 4 indictments in 1 year. That's the current status of the Democratic Party. And they'll say, Trump is that bad. Really, name the charges. None of them could ever really even name the charges. They have no idea what they're talking about. They'll say, hush payment to Stormy Daniels. That's not what he got charged with. What he got charged with in New York somehow, and somehow they extenuated it to 34 felonies where he made one payment to Stormy Daniels, which he didn't hide. He put it as a personal business expense. A personal business lawyer expense. That's what it was. But he was charged with the non-fact that he should have put it as a campaign expense. That's the genesis of the 34 felonies. It's an absolute joke. So he gets indicted in West Palm for the classified documents case. That was, of course, thrown out. Then he gets the Fannie Willis indictment out of Atlanta, the other Jack Smith indictment in D.C., and of course the NYC Alvin Bragg, Matthew Colangelo charges. And it looks like Fannie Willis's whole thing's falling apart right now too, which is great. So anyway, no indictments of any president or former president from 1776 until 2022, and then 4 in a year against Donald Trump. And I love the examples that Ted Cruz used. If you, as a private citizen, created an internment camp and you dragged people into it by force, by kidnapping them in the middle of the night, or in any way, shape, or form by force, would you be arrested and indicted? Yes. Well, FDR did that. He was never indicted. If you commit murders using a drone of a United States citizen, which Hussein Obama did, would you not be charged with murder? You would, said the former AG, Michael Mukasey. If you nuked 2 cities as a private citizen, would you be charged? I mean, you think about it. Nagasaki, 125,000 people vaporized in a second. And then the next day, Hiroshima, 75,000 people were vaporized in a second. And you have all your different opinions on that, but if a private citizen did that, of course, you would be in prison for the rest of your life. But of course, Harry S. Truman was not. But Donald J. Trump has classified documents that he's allowed to be in possession of under the Presidential Records Act, and he gets his home raided and gets indicted for it. Donald Trump says to peacefully and patriotically protest on 1-6, and he basically gets indicted for insurrection, although not formally charged with insurrection. He puts down, as I already illustrated, his $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels under a personal lawyer expense instead of a campaign finance expense, and he gets indicted for 34 felonies. And, of course, the Fannie Willis case is him obstructing their election in Georgia by making a call to Brad Raffensperger about 11,000 votes. A phone call. Never did anything. He simply told Brad Raffensperger there's got to be 11,000 votes in this corrupt election in Georgia. He didn't tell him to go find them. He didn't order him to find them. He didn't bring in the National Guard to find them. He didn't shut down the election. He had a conversation with the alleged Republican Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, who he didn't know who he was talking to, though. As Brad Raffensperger is a Democratic Party operative, who's a Democrat himself, who calls himself a Republican, who met with Mark Elias of Perkins Coie in March of 2020 to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election, which I don't have time to get into right now. So I love that video. Let's go to the next one. Yeah, you're hearing all the time, and I've showed you this video before. Some videos, I don't see them for a while, and I stumble on them, and I have to show them again. And wokeness video. This is great. This is Congressman Bud. I don't know his first name. But anyway, Aaron will find it for him because I know he's already tapping away at it. But anyway. So they're called Trump's, whether it's Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, Matt Gaetz when he was still nominated, Pam Bondi. I'm trying to think of all the other ones right now. Whatever. They call them all unqualified. Cash Patel, of course, unqualified. Ted Budd, thank you. This is Congressman Ted Budd. So he is interviewing here in this congressional hearing Biden's pick for the Federal Aviation Administration, and then the Democrats have the audacity to ever claim that one of our nominees is not qualified. Look who Biden nominated for federal, remember who this is, Federal Aviation Administration. Play for me, Heather.
So Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay. So what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd ever see the Federal Aviation Administration, so... Any idea what those restrictions are under basic med, quickly?
Well, some of the restrictions, I think, would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under. So, and then amount of knots, it's under 250 knots. So it's not having anything to do with blood pressure. So can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Okay, let's keep going. What are the three aircraft certifications the FAA requires as part of the manufacturing process? Quickly, please. Three aircraft certifications.
What I would say to that is that one of my first priorities would be to fully implement that Certification Act and report.
You know the three types, Mr. Washington? The three types? Okay. Yeah, that's type certificate, production certificate, and airworthiness certificate. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's just keep going, see if we can get lucky here. So can you tell me what the minimum separation distance is for landing and departing airliners during the daytime, Mr. Washington?
I don't want to guess on that, Senator.
Are you familiar with the difference between Part 107 and Part 44809 when it comes to unmanned aerial standards? Unmanned, like drones, are you familiar with the difference?
Yes.
Okay, you know the difference between those two, Part 44809 and Part 107? Do you know the difference there?
No, I cannot.
That's okay.
And they dare call any of our nominees unqualified. And we could, by the way, I could pull up 3 hours of those hearings of Biden nominees just like that. And they want to compare that guy to Tulsi Gabbard's knowledge as DNI. Cash Patel's knowledge as FBI director, John Ratcliffe's knowledge as CIA director. I mean, Pete Hegseth, as Secretary of Defense, let's compare, shall we? I would love to do it. Maybe I'll be able to pull it off. I don't know. But I would love to do a side-by-side of hearings of like Pete Hegseth and some Biden nominees. They have absolutely no idea what they're... This is the Federal Aviation Administration. This guy is to lead the Federal Aviation, the FAA. And he's not a... How are you a head of the Federal Aviation Administration and not be a pilot? And have no knowledge of anything? Do you hear how stupid his answers were? And by the way, if you are going to go to a senatorial... And there's Senator Ted Budd, not a Congressman Ted Budd. I got that wrong. If you're going to go to a senatorial hearing, you might want to study a little bit. I mean, but and you're going to be, this is a guy who will be in charge of all these planes flying throughout the air. The Federal Aviation Administration. Unbelievable. Let's go to the next one. Got to show you this one. Speaking of galactically unqualified, you're going to find this one funny. And let me just draw your attention to it in case I forget. Pay very close to the voice of the lawyer in the video. Curtis Hoke video. This is a transgender lawyer from the ACLU who will argue before the Supreme Court. Tennessee had the audacity to outlaw the cutting off of penises, testicles, and breasts. They outlawed it for minors. You're no longer in the state of Tennessee allowed to cut off your penis, your son or daughter's penis, testicles, or breasts. No kids allowed to do it to themselves. Parents can't okay it. You know, that's correct. You can't okay it. So that's the law in the state of Tennessee. So the ACLU is fighting for the right. Imagine having this as your motivation in life. That you're going to go fight for the right for kids to lop off their penises, testicles, and breasts. Imagine that. And then to have phallic, non-functioning penises sewed on or inverting your penis into some sort of convoluted, rotting vagina that never works. That's what these are. That's what they're advocating. Imagine that being a motivation in life, where your motivation is to have a girl have her breasts removed, maybe have a hysterectomy, and then they take the skin from your forearm right here, I guess, because it's smooth, and they shape a phallic symbol that they sew onto you that rots off, that will never function as a penis ever. Yeah, they split it. And they run like the female, the urethra through there, whatever, the thing that channels urine through there. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And they do the same thing with a male. They cut off his penis. They invert everything and then make some sort of convoluted vagina. And the guy has to put ointment on it for the rest of his life. Ugh. Because it stinks. It smells. You know why it smells? Because he's not designed to have it. That's not where a vagina goes, okay? He's not ever supposed to have one. And she's not supposed to have a penis. But yet the ACLU is going to battle for the right for people to do that. Imagine that being your motivation in life. So this is a transgender lawyer from the ACLU who will argue before the Supreme Court that underage children should be allowed to undergo the life-altering surgeries of castration, chest binders, and hormones. Play for me, Heather.
I want to bring in the lawyer who's going to argue this high-profile case before the U.S. Supreme Court, Chase Strangio. Chase, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it. So the case comes at a time when 26 states have passed laws restricting healthcare treatments for transgender youth, according to a CNN analysis of data from the nonprofit think tank Movement Advancement Project. So how do you plan to argue before the U.S. Supreme Court in a case that could have wide-ranging implications beyond the state of Tennessee?
Well, thank you for having me, Jake. And obviously, this is a critical inflection point for transgender people across the country. We're coming off of an election season where transgender people played an outside role in people's consciousness in terms of the way in which we were situated as a threat to others. And when we look at the map of states that ban this type of evidence-based healthcare, we went from zero states that had these bans in 2020 to now more than half the country. So before the court tomorrow, the question is really a simple one as I see it. It's really, this is a law that bans medical treatment only when it is prescribed inconsistent with an individual sex. Our argument is that treats people differently because of their sex, and therefore the court has to treat it like all other forms of sex discrimination, and that's why it's unconstitutional.
So this is a sex discrimination lawsuit being brought by people who can't define female. So what her his name, it's her name, it's hers, that's a female, who's on hormones, so she has a beard, that's female. I don't know what she has. I don't know if she's had her boobs lopped off. I don't know what state of transition she's in. But that her name is Chase Strangio. Strange is how it's spelled. Strangio. That's her name. Her original name was Kate BlackRock Strangio. And Strangio is perfect for her. But she's saying that this lawsuit is brought for sex discriminatory reasons. Because the people that she can't define as male and female, they can't define as male or female because male or female doesn't exist to her. So how do you bring about a lawsuit on sex discrimination when there is no sex to you? There is no XY, there is no X, there's no XX, XY chromosomes, there's nothing. So how are you suing on the basis that people are being discriminated against on the basis of their sex? How is that possible when you can't define it? Because what she's saying is a male wants to transition into a female, or a female wants to transition to a male, and the state won't allow them, so you are discriminating against them based on sex. But you won't, what sex are they discriminating against? Male or female? Exactly. Just like when they call you a racist for allowing people, for not wanting people to illegally cross the southern border, they call you a racist. Which race? Because there's 169 different nationalities that have crossed the southern border illegally under the Biden administration. So which one exactly am I a racist against? So how are they suing based on sexual discrimination when they can't define what sex a person is? I would love to see a brilliant lawyer or Supreme Court justice ask him that question. So let's deep dive into who this person is right here. Chase Strangio. Awesome name. And Strangio. Dr. Strangelove here. All right, let's go to the next one. Andy No tweet. And you know who is gay himself, by the way. A trans Tifa ACL attorney arguing to Supreme Court. That's our girl there. that it is a right to medically trans children has a history of soliciting video chats with minors. This keeps happening over and over and over again. These people, leave this up for me, Heather. These people who claim they have no sexual interest in children but like to twerk their taped up genitals in their faces, end up having a serious sexual interest in children. Over and over and over again, this happens. And here we have, her original name was Kate. She's now changed it to Chase. She has history of soliciting video chats with minors. Chase Strangio, a.k.a. Kate Backrack Strangio, is a leftist who often speaks about contempt for the court. So that's who this person is. And by the way, did you notice at the very beginning of the video, she tried to come in low? She tried to talk like this, tried to talk like a guy. It's hopeless, Chase. Kate is your real name. It's hopeless. You're a woman. You can cut off whatever you want. You can sew on whatever you want. You're a woman. You're always going to be a woman. No matter how many hormones you take and you get that convoluted beard that most women would die to have off, you're just so desperate to have on. All right, let's go to the next one. Just a little thing on Sarah Huckabee Sanders on China. I told you this is, we're jumping all over the place right now. Ann is right video. Look what's happening in Arkansas. Play it for me.
I'm announcing that Syngenta, a Chinese state-owned agrochemical company, must give up its land holdings in Arkansas. Syngenta owns 160 acres in northeast Arkansas, which it uses primarily for seed research. The company that owns Syngenta, Chem China, is also on the Department of Defense's list of Chinese military companies posing a clear threat to our state. Seeds are technology. Chinese state-owned corporations filter that technology back to their homeland, stealing American research and telling our enemies how to target American farms. That is a clear threat to our national security and to our great farmers.
Well, we're just going to take their land back? I thought this was a democracy. It's not. It's a federalist constitutional republic. Does everybody realize that no foreign national has any of our constitutional rights? I mean, understand they have the right to decency. They have the right to be treated humanely. That's international law, but they have no rights. No constitutional rights in the United States. We do not have the right. Let me clarify this in case somebody, some nutbags watching. We don't have the right to harm anybody. That's covered under, that's first of all, it's just covered in our own morality. They have the right not to be murdered here. They have the right not to be stolen from here, things like that, because anybody who murders a human being is going to be charged under United States law regardless. But the constitutional laws, the right to speedy trials, the right to free speech, all those different things, they don't have the right to those things. Simply because they're here doesn't give them the right to those things. Again, they have the right to not be a victim of crime, But other than that, they don't have our rights. So you're talking about, you know, whether it's illegal migrants, illegal aliens, they don't have our rights. Yes, they get arrested for the crimes here. They're going to be brought into our judicial system and they'll be given those rights. But really, and the reason why what should happen is if they're not charged with a crime, they just need to be immediately deported. If they are charged with crime, they need to pay for the crime. But other than that, the people will be like, well, we need to buy this land back. No, you don't have to buy it back. You just simply forfeit it. Take it. They don't have rights here. And under the Biden administration, how many acres have been bought by the CCP? People are like, it's not the CCP. It's like Anthony Fauci talking about the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the Chinese Academy of Sciences. That's not the CCP. That's not the PLA. There is no differentiation. There is nothing. There's no difference between a Chinese McDonald's and the CCP and the PLA. They're all the same. It's just if you go back, if you're old enough to remember the Soviet Union, if you had a Soviet business, there was no delineation between the Soviet business and the Soviet Union. There was no delineation between that business and the Politburo. None. Same thing in communist China. There's no delineation. There's no Wuhan Institute of Virology operates independently. Can you imagine that's what we were doing and are still doing to this day under the ridiculous Biden administration? We're still funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology to this day? You and I are. Of course, they're not. We are. But can you imagine us funding gain-of-function research in Berlin in 1941 or Moscow in 1975? Can you imagine that? But that's what we've been doing. Because Democrats who receive millions and millions and millions of dollars from different back channels just choose to live in some sort of delusion, purposeful delusion, that the Chinese Academy of Sciences and Wuhan Institute of Virology are not the CCP and the People's Liberation Army, the PLA, when they are. The Wuhan Institute of Virology is a level 4 bioweapons lab. And we were sending our money there. Ralph Baric from the UNC was teaching their scientists, Dr. Lee, the Bat Lady, how to do gain-of-function research and how to hide it after you've done it inside the subject that you've done the gain-of-function research on. And the same thing's happening here. This is Syngenta is the company, but it's actually owned by another company called Kim China, which is on the Department of Defense's watch list as a Chinese military company that has bought 160 acres inside of Arkansas and does seed research there. And it's funny, a lot of where the PLA and the CCP, where they're buying this land is oftentimes right next to what? A United States military base. All right, let me do this for a couple minutes here. I'm running late, 10:05. Can't believe it's already 10:05. I'm going to go a couple extra minutes tonight. Here we go. I'm going to go into, I've been trying to get to this J6 stuff. I've got to get to it. We've got to talk about it because this has to be litigated and the criminals have to be prosecuted. Anybody and everybody going all the way up to Joe Biden, they need to be criminally prosecuted for this because obviously, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, 1,121 people are watching right now that I could see. This has to be litigated or they're going to pull it again. You're going to pull a J6. It doesn't matter. It can be anything. They can pull some sort of Fed-incited incident and then use that as a launching pad to charge all of us. How would they do that? Well, simply by if you come out and say, you know what, I believe it was a Fed insurrection. You're being charged with insurrection because you allege that it's a Fed insurrection. Now, Tom, that can never happen. Do you really honestly believe that in a Tanya Shutkin court that couldn't happen? It absolutely could happen. All right, let me go over at least a couple of these things before we go. All right, Julie Kelly video. Mark Milley helped Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, Mark White Rage Milley, craft a January 5th memo requiring McCarthy's approval before D.C. Guard Major General William Walker could deploy his troops. This was a new provision. So Mark Milley put in a requirement requiring McCarthy's approval before D.C. Guard Major General William Walker could deploy his troops. Before Walker could deploy his troops as he saw fit. Now he had to get another layer of approval. Why would he do this? This was a new provision. One would think McCarthy would have been standing by to give the green light. Well, maybe he was, but yet there was a memo that was requiring the person who was in charge of the National Guard to get his actual approval. And we'll part and parcel this thing out in a second. Julie Kelly video. Play for me, Heather.
See, in my previous line of questions, that all of you were there with Major General William Walker from 1:49 p.m. through 5:55 p.m. During that time period, we've already established that he didn't receive any calls from Secretary McCarthy, but did he try to reach out to Secretary McCarthy during that time frame? Did any gentlemen, did you all witness any attempts by him to reach out? Yes. Not that I'm saying it's his duty, I'm just asking for facts. Captain?
Yes, sir. I witnessed General Walker attempting to reach out to the Secretary's office multiple times.
Multiple times?
Yes, sir.
Colonel?
In fairness to Secretary McCarthy, and I wrote a memo and I said he was incommunicado, and I wasn't taking a shot at him there.
So let me make sure everybody understands this. This is what Milley did on January 5th of 2021. Mark Milley put out a memo. Mark Milley helped Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, remember the names, craft a January 5th, 2021 memo. Why would you do that if you didn't know that there was about to be a quote-unquote insurrection, Fedsurrection? Memo requiring McCarthy's approval before D.C. Guard Major General William Walker could deploy his troops. So Walker had to get, now according to this memo, Walker had to get McCarthy's approval to deploy National Guard troops on January 6th as a result of the memo that was issued by Milley and McCarthy on January 5th. And then Walker, who now had to get McCarthy's permission, couldn't reach McCarthy on January 6th. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? So you make it a requirement that Walker has to call McCarthy to get his permission, but McCarthy is not available on the day of the Fedsurrection. Kind of weird, isn't it? Let's go to the next one. Another Julie Kelly video. In April of 2024, Colonel Earl Matthews, General Counsel for D.C. National Guard, gave a detailed account as to how Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy was unreachable the afternoon of January 6th. Play for me.
I was struck by your written testimony when you said the D.C. National Guard was delayed because Milley, McCarthy, and McConville believed that the President of the United States might deploy the National Guard improperly on that day and had taken measures to prevent this. This must have been incredibly frustrating for you and for your colleagues in the Guard. Why do you think senior military leaders believe the President of the United States might employ the National Guard improperly on January 6th? Was it based on their words, actions, or both?
I think that belief was irrational because I don't believe the president ever gave any of them an unlawful order.
Okay.
He gave none of them an unlawful order.
He appointed all of them to high office. Ryan McCarthy testified that on January 6th, select committee, that at one point he was walking down the Pentagon hallways, and one of the most seasoned reporters asked him whether the Army was planning to seize ballot boxes. Do you know if ideas like the president seizing ballot boxes was something Secretary McCarthy was considering when making decisions about deploying the Guard on January 6th?
I think it was, but I think it was not a rational belief. So Secretary McCarthy
says... Was there widespread fear within the Department of Defense about the president using the military or other levers of the state to impact the election around the time of the 2020 election?
No, so it was not a widespread fear. It was a fear among a clique of officers led by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who talked about a so-called Reichstag moment.
Okay, let me tell you. The New York Times reported...
So that's Colonel Earl Matthews, and he's saying that there was a small group of upper level generals, military men, led by Mark Milley, the general of the Joint Chiefs staff at the time, led by him, claiming that Trump may use the military wrongly on January 6th. And one of the allegations was a Reichstag moment. Where Trump is going to seize ballot boxes? What ballot boxes? It's January 6th. The election was November 3rd that year. It's January 6th. The memo was written on January 5th. So Milley gets a little confusing with all the names. Milley writes this memo with Ryan McCarthy, making it impossible to deploy the National Guard troops without a phone call to McCarthy because they were afraid that the president may wrongly use the military. That right there is treason. That is treason. Just like Mark Milley calling up his counterpart in China and saying, don't worry, I've got the nukes under my control. I won't let Trump do it. Trump never, and just like, make sure I get his name right. Colonel Earl Matthews said, he said this was an irrational belief. Trump had never given an unlawful order during his entire presidency. And then suddenly they're concerned about him giving unlawful orders, which there's no evidence that he was ever going to give. Seizing ballot boxes. How would you seize ballot boxes in an election that was already certified? What ballot boxes would there even be that have ballots in them 2 months after the election? Absolutely, absolutely irrational. And then, of course, the day of the Fed insurrection, I'm not going to call it the insurrection, the J6 protest, when you had General William Walker, who's the D.C. Guard Major General, trying to deploy the troops. He can't because, according to Colonel Earl Matthews, he was trying over and over and over again to make the call to McCarthy, but McCarthy was strangely unavailable to answer the call, as if Milley didn't want the National Guard troops to be there. Just like Muriel Bowser didn't want the troops to be there. Just like Nancy Pelosi didn't want the troops to be there. Remember? Here's that video, Benny Johnson video, breaking J6 footage. Nancy Pelosi admits she was responsible for the National Guard on January 6th. Play for me.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, that is not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
She's obviously trying in a convoluted, just absolutely repulsive way to act, because that's her daughter shooting the video footage. She was conveniently there on that day. It's just very strange, isn't it, that Milley issued this memo the day before, as if he knew it was going to happen, and Nancy Pelosi refused the National Guard and had her daughter there filming her every move as if she knew something was going to happen. Very strange, isn't it? Very, very coincidental. And then she makes sure that she has on video, why weren't the National Guard there? Because she point blank refused them. Donald Trump offered her 10,000 National Guard troops. Basically to her face, she refused it. Stephen Sund, the former head of the Capitol Police, he said the exact same thing, and he tried to get a hold of her and couldn't get a hold of her either. And then, of course, Milley, as if he knew what was going to happen, issues a memo on January 5th requiring the person who would deploy the National Guard troops to make a phone call to another general named McCarthy, and McCarthy was unavailable. And then Nancy Pelosi makes sure she's on film saying, why wasn't the National Guard there? So she's on the record acting like she didn't know why, but she's already on the record turning them down, as was Muriel Bowser, as is Chuck Schumer, as is Mitch McConnell, all turned the National Guard down. Jason D. Meester video, breaking Nancy Pelosi refused to provide Capitol Police Chief with National Guard for 71 minutes. Play it for me.
You make this call immediately to the House Sergeant at Arms, who reports Mr. Irving, who reports to Nancy Pelosi. He says, I'll call Pelosi.
He says, I'm running up the chain.
Running up the chain, but that is the chain.
No, I hear you. I got you. Yeah. I want to tell you exactly what
you're saying. So, what happens then? Does he get back to you?
So, for the next 71 minutes, I make the 32 calls to a number of agencies. 11 of those calls are follow-up calls. And look in the Senate combined report from 2001. They have a great infographic of the call after call after call after call. 11 times I call in the next 71 minutes going, where are we on the approval? Where are we on the approval? Because any minute now. Any minute. I'm going to get any minute. Finally, at 2:09. 71 minutes later, 2:09, I'm finally given approval. Think about that. 71 minutes later, I immediately call Mike Stinger, say we've got approval. I was so pissed off I made sure that the watch commander, I'm in the command center, I yelled to John Wisham, the lieutenant, that's my watch commander. I said, John, mark the time as 2:10. I finally got approval for the National Guard. I was that mad.
So what is the, I just want to pause on this for a minute. That's like, it's almost unbelievable. So this is an event that Pelosi herself has likened to Pearl Harbor and 9/11. You know, the worst thing that's ever happened on American soil. And she's in charge of allowing the National Guard to come in and respond, but she doesn't for 71 minutes. What is that?
Yeah, for 71 minutes, you had Stephen Sund calling her for 71 minutes. That's the chief of the Capitol Police, who she had fired for all intents and purposes. She had him fired. And he's calling her for 71 minutes. And strangely, she's unreachable for 71 minutes, as if it was on purpose, which it was. McCarthy, not Kevin McCarthy, General McCarthy, Colonel, make sure I get the names right here. Army Secretary, not General, Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, who had to give his permission for them to be deployed. That was what was going on here. He's calling her. Stephen Sund was calling her for 71 minutes. And then you have General Walker trying to get a hold of Ryan McCarthy, because the memo was written the day before by Milley that Walker had to get McCarthy's approval to deploy the troops. It's as if all these people knew that this was going to happen and wanted to make the National Guard unavailable. Nancy Pelosi's unreachable. McCarthy's unreachable due to Mark Milley's memo. Mark Milley's unreachable. Mark Milley's committing acts of treason. And he needs to be forced back into active duty, which he can do. The President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, number 47, he can make Mark Milley go back into the military. He needs to be court-martialed for treason. That's what needs to happen, folks. These are reprehensible human beings. They all turned down the National Guard. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's going, why weren't they deployed? Number one, you turned them down long before this. And number two, you won't answer the phone from the Capitol Police Chief who's asking you to deploy them. And Mark Milley made it technically impossible to deploy them because he issued a memo requiring a phone call to McCarthy, and McCarthy's unavailable. Unbelievable. Let's go to the next one. Kyle Becker tweet. Just in, don't worry, Aaron, we have an inspector general looking into all this.
Oh, good.
Okay, so Aaron feels good about it. The Pentagon's inspector general concedes to a House investigation that it, the inspector general, misled the American people about National Guard troops being deployed to respond to the J6 riots. People need to go to federal prison for the rest of their lives, folks. Think about what they've done to the J6 prisoners. Today, the Oversight Administration Chairman, Barry Loudermilk, Georgia 11, sent a letter to Department of Defense Inspector General Robert Storch demanding a correction of the DOD's factually inaccurate January 6th report, as first reported by the Federalist. After a thorough investigation, the subcommittee uncovered evidence substantiating that the Department of Defense intentionally delayed the deployment. Intentionally delayed, Aaron, did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Department of Defense intentionally, if they believed it was an insurrection, and yet intentionally delayed the deployments as if they wanted the insurrection / Fedsurrection to take place, which they did. Delayed, intentionally delayed. After a thorough investigation, the subcommittee uncovered evidence substantiating that the Department of Defense, you got to love the military. No, you don't. Department of Defense intentionally delayed the deployment of the D.C. National Guard to the Capitol on January 6, 2021. In addition, the DOD IG concealed the inspector general. Aaron, the inspector general concealed.
Yep.
So the person investigating the crimes that happened on 1/6, not the crimes of the protesters, the crimes of the military themselves. In addition, the DOD Inspector General concealed the extent and cause of the delay to protect the Department of Defense and Pentagon leadership, all under the guise of national security, I'm sure. The subcommittee found multiple instances where the DOD IG failed to disclose evidence that contradicted the DOD IG's erroneous conclusion. The DOD, I've got more on this from Kyle Becker. The DOD IG's Inspector General's report reflects an alarming failure to adequately evaluate the actions of senior DOD officials, including, here's some familiar names, Aaron, Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, who failed to communicate deployment orders to Major General William Walker, the commander of the D.C. National Guard. My subcommittee, says Loudermilk, worked with the DOD IG in good faith throughout our investigation to provide multiple opportunities for the DOG. He thought it was good faith. There is no such thing in Washington, D.C. Multiple opportunities for the DOD IG to produce corroborating materials or evidence to support their collusion, says Chairman Loudermilk. Unfortunately, the DOD IG continues to promote an inaccurate narrative that protects senior Pentagon officials and attempts to cast fault on D.C. National Guard. Can you imagine being so devoid of integrity that you're willing to let other people burn for your lies and for your contemptible actions? Who were ready and waiting less than 2 miles from the Capitol. Aaron, did you realize that, Aaron? The National Guard was staged and ready 2 miles from the Capitol?
I didn't, but that makes sense.
Yeah, they were staged and ready. And McCarthy couldn't be reached to dispatch them.
Oh, my gosh.
He could not be reached to deploy them because of the memo put out by Mark White Rage Billy the day before. And Stephen's son is trying to make the same phone call to Nancy Pelosi to dispatch them. But she won't answer her phone for 71 minutes. And they're 2 miles away. Think about how quickly they could have been there. 2 miles. 2 miles. I walk all the time. I could have been there in 18 minutes, let alone Humvees and tanks or whatever else they're driving. Not tanks, probably a little overblown, but hyperbolic. But anyway, who are ready and waiting less than 2 miles from the Capitol, but were unable to respond on January 6th due to a lack of communication from the Secretary of the Army. My subcommittee, according to Loudermilk, released transcripts that show that not only were political concerns of optics at play, but that the DOD officials continued to delay as the riot at the Capitol worsened, continued to delay on purpose. The evidence is conclusive. DOD officials misled Congress into believing that help was on the way with knowledge that it was not. The big question, why would the Pentagon delay sending troops to respond to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol if it was putting the lives of Congress members in danger? I wonder why. Here's a little bit more behind-the-scenes footage of Nancy Pelosi playing the part of a possibly victimized female member of Congress. Play it for me.
...of our staff locked up and barricaded in their offices, so there's a critical situation and a risk of loss of life.
We have some senators who are still in their hideaways. They need massive personnel now. Can you get the Maryland National Guard to come too?
We can't.
Sir, I'll call the governor.
Mr. Secretary, obviously Prince George's County, I will call Angela Alsobrook, the county executive. I'm sure she'll deploy whatever we need deployed. Montgomery County as well, Fairfax and Arlington all have very significant.
Now, those are all actors playing the part of saying, we need the troops. Now, do you span the room? Those people look terrified, don't they?
That was perfect.
Yeah, I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to self-aggrandize, but I've been on a lot of police calls that, and a lot of them were kind of scary. Okay, that's not how scared people act. Just so you know, I mean that. And I don't need to tell you that. You don't have to be a police officer to know that. There's people that I'm talking to right now who fought in wars. Heather, who's doing all the slides right now, her husband fought in a war. Okay, this is not how terrified people act. They're trying to get on the record, calling for the National Guard that, remember, she had already turned down and refused to answer the Capitol Hill Police Department Chief of Police, Stephen's son, for 71 minutes. And all the other people that were set in place, where you had, of course, Mark Milley putting out the memo on January 5th that in order to get, suddenly you didn't, before this now, before all this, I'm just getting the names one last time here so everybody knows. Before this, all the general over the DC National Guard, his name's Walker. I'm going to get everybody's right name here. Let me find all their names just so I get it right here. Let me find their names one more time. That's not it. What the heck did I do with them all? Oh, I hate when I can't find my stuff. But anyway, I'm going to give it 10 more seconds. I got to try to find it because I want to see if I want to get everybody's names right. All right, but anyway, I got the names written here, but I don't necessarily have their titles correct. But anyway, of course, you had Mark Milley, General of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, puts out a memo January 5th stating that in order to deploy the National Guard, you would have to call I can't remember. I hate not knowing. Oh, there it is. Got it. Finally, there it is. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. So in order for you to deploy the National Guard troops, you'd have to call him. That has never been done in the history of the United States before. It used to be at the discretion of general over the D.C. Guard or whoever over all the years, whoever was in charge of the D.C. Guard or the Dallas Guard or the Florida Guard, that person could deploy the troops without having to make a phone call to the Secretary of the Army. But Milley, the day before the Fed's erection, makes that requirement via a memo. And then nobody can get a hold of McCarthy. And nobody can get a hold of Pelosi. 71 minutes when the National Guard was 2 miles away. 71 minutes she wouldn't answer her phone. And everybody's got the same phones now. You know who's calling you. She knows that it was the chief of the Capitol Hill Police, Stephen's son, calling her for the National Guard. And she refused to call for 71 minutes while she acts in a choreographed play. Acting like they're calling the National Guard. When are you going to deploy them? Look at all these terrified people. Aren't they horrified? Aren't they just horrified? They're all on their smartphones. All a giant con job, and I'm preaching to the choir. All of you already know that. All right, 1028. That's good. Love you guys. 1,029 people still on. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. It really is awesome. Guys, stick around for it. I'm done yelling at you. Stick around for the post game for 5 or 6 minutes. Rumble Rants tonight. Nude Monk, $20. Jana Jones, $10. Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy Omar Gritter, $10. Love you guys. Appreciate you in the Rumble Rant. Appreciate everybody. Everybody in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Really do. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas to everybody. We're going Christmas theme until we get to December 26th. But I appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless y'all. See you then.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for $1 a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.